It's 5:06 and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a settlement will provide funding to efforts to clean pollution in the Fox River. We'll talk to a DNR spokesman about the ongoing effort.
First, an article in the Wisconsin High School student newspaper got a lot of attention this week for drawing attention to a perceived rape culture at the school.
But it's drawn attention to another issue, press freedom for student publications, after school administrators instituted new review policies for the paper, in effect taking more control over the content.
We've got two guests with us now to talk about that issue. Fond du Lac High School senior Tanvi Kumar is co-editor-in-chief of Cardinal Columns, the student newspaper, and she wrote the piece at the center of the story. Tanvi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Vince Felak is a professor of journalism at UW Oshkosh, advisor to the student newspaper there. Vince, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Tanvi, let's start with you. Why did you write the piece on rape culture for your high school paper?
I think what I guess I realized was that there is no shortage of rape jokes in our high schools and in our society in general. I mean, a test is hard. Oh, you've gotten raped by the test. A sports team loses to another sports team. Oh, they were raped. And I guess I started wondering, how did survivors of sexual assault feel about the minimization of such horrible things that had happened to them? And I kind of wanted to make sure that they had a platform to speak about these issues.
And I thought I read that there was even a Twitter feed with rape jokes that was originating from someone in the high school.
Yes, there was. There was a Twitter account started by someone in my high school that pokes fun of very specific rape incidents that had occurred.
And what was the general reaction after you wrote this piece? What did people say?
The general reaction of the student body has been overwhelmingly positive. Teachers read the articles out loud to their class to allow debate and discussion. Many students came up to me to tell me their stories of sexual assault, and I even had a teacher do the same. So I was surprised by just how powerful it was able to be.
When did you hear about the response from your school administration?
A month after we published it.
And what changed under their new guidelines? What's different now?
What's different now is that our principal and our superintendent will have the final say in whatever we choose to publish. If they deem something to be poorly written or unsuitable for immature audiences, they can take it out, as well as many other requirements that they've created with the new policy.
And the school superintendent issued this statement in response to questions from the Fond du Lac reporter. He said, "I believe that the guidelines are a reasonable expectation for a school-sponsored publication. The district has a responsibility to protect the educational process, environment, and the interests of all students." Tanvi, what do you think about that? Does that sound, as he says, reasonable to you?
I guess it is reasonable to some extent. What I don't understand is how this article or anything we've published in the past has disrupted the educational process. I mean, I feel that as a result of this, a new approach has been taken to education on social issues in our high school.
Let's bring Vince Felak, a journalism professor at UW Oshkosh, in now. What do you think of the school's response to the piece Tanvi was just talking about?
I think that they're really overreaching in a lot of ways. I think that they are trying to implement a culture of censorship in the attempt to stop things that they don't like. One of the earliest comments on this was that, you know, the Cardinal Columns needs to publish more positive stories, which is usually administrative code for stop writing about stuff that we don't want to see. And that concept in and of itself is right at the core of censorship.
And this has been in the courts before. What is the legal standard on this, the bar for determining if the school should restrict content in a student publication?
The legal standing is a case from about 1988 called Hazelwood v. Kuhlmeier. And the basis of it says that the principals or the administration do have the ability to restrict free speech or free press if they can demonstrate that it basically limits, and this is why they're using the language they're using, that it limits the educational endeavors of the school. In other words, if they can show that the publication of this will pretty much grind the school to a halt. But there are two things to keep in mind. One is that it says that they can restrict it. It doesn't say that they have to or that they should. And the second is that that's a pretty high bar that's set, But what you realize is that this is being applied all over the place with a kind of a wide brush just to get rid of content that people don't like. One case that's going on right now is in, I know Student Press Law Center is working on that as well as this one, and it's in Arkansas where a student's profile was removed from the yearbook because the student was gay. And the principal said that this, again, it follows the whole Hazelwood playbook, which says, you know, this will definitely restrict the educational opportunities of our students, but they won't say how or why. So that's kind of where you sit with this from both a legal and an opportunistic standpoint.
Vince, in the world of student newspapers at high schools, even at colleges, is this a constant battleground over what they can publish, how much say the administration has, or are these cases few and far between?
There's a lot of this, and you know, we're not the first out here in Wisconsin, and we won't be the last, unfortunately. And I think that a lot of times what you see are people kind of couching this in the idea of oversight, or, you know, we just want to make sure everything's okay. But at the end of the day, no matter what kind of fuzzy term they use to try to help themselves sleep better at night, the fact of the matter is they're saying, I don't like this, so you can't publish it and you other people can't see it. And that's the core of what censorship really is.
Tanvi, I understand this hasn't just been a response that's isolated to the high school, that it's something that has had ripples out into the community. What are people in the community saying about this?
I mean, obviously, it's not just our community. This issue has drawn national attention. We've had several national media outlets cover this story, but the entire environment right now is very supportive, and I think the whole town has kind of come behind this issue, and I think they're really trying to increase the collaboration on issues like these.
And I know there's a petition drive online, but I gather there was some response from some of the faculty at your school as well.
Right. We have a petition on change.org, and it has now received 5,000 signatures. Also, our entire English department sent in about a 22-page petition to our school board to reverse this policy, and I think that's just tremendous. I think that is a symbol of how much our teachers truly care about our education.
Well, we're talking right now to Fond du Lac High School student journalist Tanvi Kumar and UW Oshkosh journalism professor Vince Filok about an article Tanvi wrote in the school paper that turned into a press freedom issue. And as we just heard, it's gotten national attention both in Fond du Lac and the state and beyond.
You can join the program. Did you or do you work on a student publication at the high school or college level? Were there ever conflicts with the school administration? On the flip side, do you work at a school? What kind of oversight do student newspapers need? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
We're continuing our conversation now about student journalism and press freedom. We've got Fond du Lac High School senior Tanvi Kumar with us. Her piece on rape culture in the student newspaper led to new guidelines from the school administration and accusations of censorship. Vince Filok is also with us. He's a professor of journalism at UW Oshkosh.
You can join in the show. Have you been following this story? What are your thoughts? Do you have experience working on a student newspaper at the high school or college level? Did you see these kind of conflicts over what you could and couldn't publish without input, oversight from school administration? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tanvi, one thing I wanted to ask you about, now under this current policy, more higher-ups have some say in what the content is, but was there some kind of faculty or staff advisor who, you know, was watching, reviewing your work as you went along, even before the new system?
Yes, actually, we have a wonderful advisor, Mr. Matt Smith, and nothing goes in the paper without his approval and without a lot of collaboration with him.
And have there been incidences in the past where someone wanted to publish something and maybe your advisor that you just mentioned said, you know what, this is not, you know, appropriate, or we need to rework this? Has he been active in figuring out what is appropriate for the content?
Of course, all the time. Actually, we had a picture on our inside cover of our magazine, which depicted a survivor of sexual assault laying lifeless among boxes. That actually became a pretty controversial bit to pick with the administration. But he said that we should not use that image because what we wanted to do was Photoshop the words fragile on the boxes. And he said that I don't agree with the notion that survivors of sexual assault are fragile. So ultimately, we didn't include that picture.
Vince Tanvi mentioned earlier that this has been an issue in the wider community, and she says they've gotten a lot of support there for the paper. Is that common for these issues to really spill out beyond the school, or do they just tend to stay in the school and maybe move into the court system?
It usually depends on the case, and it usually also depends on, you know, the quality of the work. I mean, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think Tanvi's piece was phenomenal. It's probably one of the best pieces of journalism I've read out of high school. And, you know, I kind of teased a little bit when I saw her at the school board meeting. I said, are you sure you don't want to come to Oshkosh? You know, we might be able to, you know, squeeze you in for next year to get you in the journalism program there. It's usually the cases where somebody writes something satirical or somebody publishes something that is libelous or somebody, you know, that's when that really lack of support comes out from the community, because they can kind of look at that and say, yeah, we definitely don't want something like this, you know, happening around here. But when it's a good, strong piece of journalism, that's when a lot of communities step up and say, wait a minute, you know, just because you don't like to see it doesn't necessarily make it something that shouldn't be seen.
And we have a caller on the line now. Let's go to Rachel in Milwaukee. Hi, Rachel.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a alma mater of Fondy High School and used to be the editor of the Fondy Free Press, now on my own. But I wanted to call and say thanks, first of all, for writing the article, but I think it's great that this has turned into a freedom of the press issue. But maybe what's more important is to why why it felt like this was, why the administration at Fondy felt like this was an article to be kind of hushed down in the first place or silenced, given that the article is very well written, beautiful article written about how women feel like they aren't allowed to talk about rape at Fondy High.
Okay, well, Rachel, thank you so much for calling. And it's interesting that you're a past alum of that paper as well. And I wonder, she's asking about the silencing that she thinks is going on around rape culture and what the grounds from the administration is for being concerned about this. Vince, can you articulate a little bit more what the concerns might have been surrounding this?
Honestly, I think it comes down to the topic itself. This is, of course, just purely my own sense of what it is, but the word rape and the word joke showed up in the school newspaper, and somebody in the administration probably freaked out and said, you need to get a handle on these kids. I've had that happen at various other places where I've worked, even at the college level, where somebody saw, you know, they didn't read the whole story, or they didn't, you know, pay enough attention to the whole piece. They just saw something that made them kind of, you know, twitchy and decided that, you know, okay, wait a minute, let's not look at this stuff anymore. We can't have this anymore. And I think, you know, quite frankly, Tanvi's piece is so well done that they really can't say, well, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, the journalism is bad, or, you know, there are other views or something like that. I mean, this is a rock solid airtight piece. So instead they say, you know, and I think I've heard this before, and Tanvi can correct me if I'm wrong, administrators said, you know, there's nothing wrong with this article per se. You know, we just don't like some of the descriptors, or, you know, the photo might have been a little iffy or whatever. Well, again, that comes down to what the students decide with their advisor, as opposed to, you know, maybe somebody shouldn't see this at all.
Tanvi, were those some of the objections that you heard, or did you not hear the direct objections?
See, I heard some of that. It was never made clear to me what exactly they would not include had this story been written at the time of this new policy. I did hear that, you know, it might have been too graphic, or the statistical research. I think that I said 80% of Fond du Lac High School students have heard a rape joke in the past month, because I did do some statistical research on that, and that number seemed shockingly high to the administration, and they wondered if it was really accurately representing our school as a whole.
Thanks for the call and bringing that up at 800-642-1234. You can join in talking about press freedom for school newspapers, student newspapers. Do you have experience on one of those papers around the state, around the country? If you're at a school, where do you think the line should be drawn? How much oversight does a student paper need at the high school or college level? The number is 800-642-1234.
And we have an email here from Jill in Milwaukee who says, well, at Eisenhower High School in New Berlin in the 1990s, I wrote an opinion piece for the school newspaper, and it was on the distribution of condoms in school. Our principal was concerned until I showed him examples of similar articles from school papers across the country. We agreed that I would take any parent complaints, and there were none. So, again, a topic that could be seen as sort of provocative, but in that case, the principal and the student journalist working through it together, is that, do you think, a model, Vince, for a different type of policy? If there needs to be one beyond the paper advisor, could it be a collaboration between the student journalist and the principal?
I think so. I like that email because it issues exactly what, you know, we've been saying for quite some time at both the college and the high school level, which is if you give the students the responsibility and you give them the rights, they usually do a very good job. In other words, if it seems like they have to kind of sneak around, so to speak, because somebody's going to censor them otherwise, that's when more bad things happen. But if you say, hey, look, run what you want to, but keep in mind that you're going to be responsible for whatever happens out of it. In most cases, the students make very smart and very mature decisions on what they will and what they won't run. And that's, again, why the advisor's there, to help them work through that process, as opposed to, say, somebody just saying, nope, don't want to see it.
Back to our callers now with Stephen in Dubuque, Iowa. Stephen, hi.
Hi. I was just calling, sort of follows up nicely with what was just mentioned, that there is sort of a natural censorship in the press in terms of what is printed and what is chosen to be printed by the newspaper and the editor. And I sort of wonder why the administration felt like the advisor wasn't maybe or isn't capable of doing a good enough job of doing that censorship on his or her own, and instead wants to take that role on themselves. I don't know if I'd comment on that.
Stephen, thanks for the call. Tanvi, any thoughts on that?
I think I was wondering the same thing, actually. So,
all right, so something that's a question out there. We go next to Heidi in Fort Atkinson. Hi, Heidi.
Hi. I just want to first of all salute you for writing an awesome article like this. And last year, I'm the editor-in-chief currently of my high school newspaper. And last year, we had dealt with a situation similar to this. The RM County paper had published a very graphic article about a high school rape case on the front cover. And with the permission of our administration and our advisor, my two past editor-in-chiefs were able to write an incredible article about how that's not okay and student rights and rape cases and such. And I think it's incredible that you guys are bringing this up on the news, because it's often not brought up in high school journalism, usually not considered real journalism.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Heidi. And what do you think about that example, Vince?
I think that, again, it's another instance where student journalists are demonstrating that they can do good work, and that when they're given both the rights and the responsibilities, they do exceptionally well with it. But I agree. I read a lot of student newspapers. I judge for the National Scholastic Press Association. I do critiques for them. I've read probably about 250 to 300 newspapers over the past 3 to 4 years that are at the high school level. And, you know, the quality of the journalism that came out of this piece is right up there in the top echelon, because they were given the rights and the responsibilities that go with something like this.
As we come to the end of the show, Vince, can you give us some brief thoughts on how important student publications are in training the journalists of the future?
They're exceptionally important. And the one big reason why I think that this is an important case is because I get the students next at the college level, and in a lot of cases where they have been censored, and a lot of student newspapers do censor, they don't quite know how to act and how to operate as independent journalists, because I don't have any say over content at the college level. That's our philosophy. So, you know, they need to be able to take more responsibility on themselves. So with an opportunity like the one Tanvi has, she has been able to take that next step and do very well. And if we don't have people like her out there, I don't really know where this field's going to go.
Well, it's a great time to ask. Tanvi, you're off to college next year, as I understand it. Are you thinking about journalism as a career, and has this experience affected you at all?
Most definitely. I think that this experience gave me a genuine insight into what I love. And I think that it's taught me that free speech has the power to change, the power to reform, and most of all, I think the power to heal. So I'm just really glad that I was able to be a part of that process. A lot of people, you know, they tell me to keep fighting the good fight, but what I say in response is that it's actually the survivors of sexual assault in this case that are fighting the good fight every day when they speak out about things that happen to them.
Tanvi, we'll leave it there. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Tanvi Kumar. She is a senior at Fond du Lac High School, co-editor-in-chief of Cardinal Columns, a student newspaper, and Vince Filak, professor of journalism at UW Oshkosh.